Thank you, Brother Gordon, for that psalm selection. It goes along with our lesson tonight as we're taking a text from the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy. This one will be from Deuteronomy 15, verses 12 through 15. In this lesson, we'll study about God the Redeemer. God defines redemption for us so that we understand what it is. And there's a reason for understanding what it is, and there's some sort of an application that is important to us. There's a reason for us to know these things. So God reveals also not only a definition of redemption for us, but also the need for redemption. And God provides redemption for us. And the object of this lesson is that each one of us will understand the concept of biblical redemption. In Deuteronomy 15, we have this. Moses wrote, "If your kinsman, a Hebrew man or woman, is sold to you, then he shall serve you 6 years. But in the seventh year, you shall set him free. When you set him free, you shall not send him away empty-handed. You shall furnish him liberally from your flock and your threshing floor and from your wine vat. You shall give to him as the Lord your God has blessed you. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you. Therefore I command you this today." Among the various texts, commandments that God gave to Moses were also regulations about slavery. And if a Hebrew bought another Hebrew man or a woman to serve as a slave for them, they were to be set free after 6 years of service. We see that in these instructions. When they were released, they were to be given a liberal quantity of food and drink. And this was their redemption from slavery. God also admonishes them to remember that they were once slaves in Egypt and redeemed from that servitude as well. God was the Redeemer. So let's think a little bit about God the Redeemer. Redemption is the idea of buying back something. You know, if you get the Sunday paper, its coupons are just falling all out of it in every section of the paper. And what you do with those coupons, if you're a coupon clipper or a coupon junkie, as they call it sometimes, you clip those coupons, and then when you go to the grocery store, you redeem those for a product or a certain price off the retail price for that product. So we're pretty much familiar with the concept of redeeming coupons. But in the ancient world, redemption was much more of an important concept. When conquerors overthrew a nation, and individuals who were conquered, the individuals became servants or slaves to the nation that conquered them. And everyone became a slave, whether you were a man or a woman or a child. You were given some servant's duty to perform, and you didn't really have a choice about what you would do. You were a conquered nation, and therefore you were a nation of slaves. Many nations would give them an opportunity to be redeemed, to purchase their redemption, or to have someone purchase their redemption for them. This was done by giving the conquering king or the whoever owned that person a certain amount of money or goods in order to purchase the release from slavery of that person. One could literally buy himself out of slavery. One could redeem himself. Having done this, then you were redeemed or bought back. And one could also be redeemed by having a superior force come in and reconquer that nation and choose to set you free, or you would be captured as a slave once again. Consider the following examples in the Old Testament of redemption, Abraham and Lot. In Genesis 14, you remember that Abraham's family had been captured by foreign kings. And Abraham learned of this and gathered a band of men in that chapter and went after Lot and his family. And Genesis 14 and verse 16 says he brought back all the goods and also brought back his relative Lot with his possessions and all the women and the people. So Abraham redeemed Lot and his people from slavery. The nation of Israel is another example of redemption. At the beginning of Exodus, Jacob's descendants, now the nation of Israel, you remember, are in slavery in the country of Egypt under Pharaoh. And in Exodus 6, verses 5 and 6, God told Moses, "Furthermore, I have heard the groaning of the sons of Israel, because the Egyptians are holding them in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Say therefore to the sons of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will deliver you from their bondage. I will also redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments." We know then that God was able to conquer Egypt and to redeem or buy back his people from Egyptian slavery. David said hundreds of years later in 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 23, "And what one nation on the earth is like your people Israel, whom God went to redeem for himself as a people and make a name for himself and to do a great thing for you and awesome things for your land, before your people, whom you have redeemed for yourself from Egypt, from nations, and from their gods." So you see this concept of redemption displayed very, very graphically in the story of Egyptian bondage and God freeing them. Also, in the firstborn of Israel, we see the concept of redemption played out before our eyes. In Exodus 13, beginning in verse 11, "Now when the Lord brings you to the land of the Canaanite, as he swore to you and your fathers to give it to you, you shall devote to the Lord the first offspring of every womb, and the first offspring of every beast that you own. The males belong to the Lord. But every first offspring of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb. But if you do not redeem it, then you shall break its neck, and every firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem. And it shall be, when your sons ask you in time to come, saying, 'What is this?' you shall say to them, 'With a powerful hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt from the house of slavery.' It came about when Pharaoh was stubborn about letting us go that the Lord killed every firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. Therefore I sacrifice to the Lord the males, the first offspring of every womb, but every firstborn of my sons I redeem. So it shall serve as a sign on your hand and as phylacteries on your forehead, for with a powerful hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt." It seems to be that the redemption story in connection with the firstborn of Israel had a major purpose for those people. And it seems to be that they would remember their bondage in Egypt and how that God redeemed them from that bondage. That seems to be clear, doesn't it? God required the firstborn of Israel to be redeemed. This was so that they would remember that God redeemed them. In this way, there was a perpetual redemption then for the nation of Israel. And Numbers 18, 15 through 19 speaks of how much money could be used to redeem the firstborn, if that's what you chose to do. Another example is when the Israelites came out of Babylonian captivity. Nehemiah references this in chapter 5 and verse 8 when he says, "We, according to our ability, have redeemed our Jewish brothers who were sold to the nations." in one of his discourses to the people. And many other things there are in the pages of the Old Testament that have to do with redemption. They were to grant redemption for the land in Leviticus chapter 25, which contains many different things about redemption. They could redeem personal family possessions that went to someone else's ownership, someone else's hand. They could redeem property in that chapter. Family members could redeem other family members from slavery at any time, and also in Leviticus 25. And in the year of Jubilee, every 50 years, all slaves were redeemed, regardless of who owned them or how much they paid for them. All slaves were redeemed in the year of Jubilee. So there were other things included in the pages of the Old Testament, speaking of redemption. But there were some things, devoted things, that could not be redeemed. Leviticus 27, 28, 29 tells us about that. Nevertheless, anything which a man sets apart to the Lord out of all that he has, of man or animal or of fields or his own property, shall not be sold or redeemed. Anything devoted to destruction is most holy to the Lord. No one who may have been set apart among men shall be ransomed. He shall surely be put to death. So this is an overview so we can get the concept of the biblical concept of what it is to be redeemed. The biblical concept of redemption. So God defines that for us rather clearly. We just have to look and see how it works in a practical way in the pages of His Word. So secondly, then, we want to look at the point that God reveals the need for redemption. The need for redemption. Why do we have to be redeemed is the question. Well, let's first consider, since we are a people who love to place blame, let's first consider the point that God is not to blame for the fact that we need to be redeemed. God created man sinless and free. We see that in the very book of beginnings in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27. And all children born into this world don't need to be redeemed. They are born sinless. Jesus said, let the children alone and do not hinder them from coming to me, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. In Ezekiel 18 and verse 20, the person who sins will die. The son will not bear the punishment of the father's iniquity, nor will the father bear the punishment of the son's iniquity. The righteousness of the righteous will be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked will be upon himself. So God is not to blame for the need, for there being a need for people to be redeemed. Really, man is to blame for his own sins. In Ezekiel 18 and verse 26, when a righteous man turns away from his righteousness, commits iniquity, and dies because of it, for his iniquity which he has committed, he will die. That seems fair to us, doesn't it? That is fair. God said this is the way it's going to operate. Isaiah said in Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2, behold, the Lord's hand is not so short that he cannot save. It's not God's fault, nor is his ear so dull that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. So you see the problem really that men have that interferes, that creates the need for this redemption or this buying back. The problem is sin. Not everyone has that problem. Babies don't have that problem. But by the time we reach the age of accountability and make choices for ourselves and then make the wrong choices, we lose that innocence of being an infant, and we have a need. When man commits sin, he sells himself into the slavery of sin. And that's what Jesus was talking about in the Gospel of John in chapter 8 and verse 34 when he said, truly, truly I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin. Now, do you see how that concept would tie in to an understanding that the Jews had relative to redemption in the Old Testament scriptures. He's telling them they have a need for redemption because of the bondage of sin, the spiritual bondage of sin. So that point seems extremely clear that Jesus makes in John 8 and verse 34. Proverbs 5 and verse 22 says, "His own iniquities will capture the wicked, and he will be held with the cords of sin." Now that's very much similar to being a slave of sin. Romans 6 and verse 16, "Do you not know when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are the slaves to the one whom you obey? Either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness." People choose. They make choices. And who am I going to serve? And Paul says there are two choices that every man must make. You're either going to serve sin, and that's going to result in death, or you're going to serve obedience to God, and that's going to result in righteousness, and you'll be redeemed by God as a result of that. Romans 7 and verse 14, "We know that the law is spiritual, but I am of flesh, sold in bondage to sin," is what Paul said relative to his need for being redeemed by God. 2 Peter 2 and verse 19, promising them freedom while they themselves are slaves of corruption, "For by what a man is overcome, by this he is enslaved." So people overcome of sin are enslaved of sin, correct? So when a man commits sin, he sells himself into the slavery of sin. He's in that bondage. The only way for him to get out is to be redeemed, bought back from that bondage. All have sinned, Romans 3 and verse 23, and fall short of the glory of God. John says in 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and also in verse 10, "If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us." I would never want to stand before God and say, "God, you are a liar." Would you? God tells us we have a need. He tells us the way to solve that need, and it's by redemption, by being bought back. And so we either agree with that or we live in rebellion against God. And I certainly wouldn't want to do that, would you? All who sell themselves into sin sell themselves into a slavery. Seems to be clear from passages that we've looked at. So, God reveals a need for redemption. In answer of our question, why do we need to be redeemed? God explains to us what that need is. Now, thirdly, let's look at this idea about God providing redemption for men. Men need it. It's clearly defined. Where are they going to get it? Who's going to give it to them? Who's going to provide it for them? Who's going to sell it to them? Whatever the arrangement is. How are men going to procure the redemption that they need? The answer is, God provides. Why must God redeem me? Why is that the case? Because we cannot redeem ourselves. We don't have the wherewithal to satisfy the requirement where some authority looks at us and says, "You've paid the ransom, therefore you are redeemed. You're bought back." We can't redeem ourselves from the captivity of sin. When we first committed sin, we gave everything that we had to it. We gave ourselves to it. That's all that we had. That's all that we possess in this life. We gave ourselves to it. Isaiah said in Isaiah 64 and verse 6, "For all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all of our righteous deeds are like filthy garment. And all of us wither like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away." Because of the choice that we made to do something that was opposed to God's will for our lives. Psalm 53, the first beginning verses of that psalm say, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, and they have committed abominable injustice. There is no one who does good. God has looked down from heaven upon the sons of men to see if there is anyone who understands, who seeks after God. Every one of them has turned aside. Together they have become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. We have nothing left with which to redeem ourselves from our predicament, our spiritual predicament, which is not good. As Paul said, we are sold into bondage unto sin. We cannot redeem ourselves from the captivity of sin. What about our friends? Can they help us out? Our friends cannot redeem us from the captivity of sin. They cannot do so, even if they might be some of the wealthiest people in this nation. They still can't redeem us from our sins. Psalm 49, verses 6 and 7, even those who trust in their wealth and boast in the abundance of their riches, no man can by any means redeem his brother or give to God a ransom for him. That makes it pretty clear, doesn't it? They cannot do so with their lives, for they too are sold into sin. There is no army that they can command to go and conquer sin. Isaiah said in Isaiah 31 and verse 1, woe to those who go down to Egypt for help and rely on horses and trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong, but they do not look to the Holy One of Israel nor seek the Lord. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 17 and verse 5, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. That makes it pretty clear, doesn't it? About who is it that we can trust to provide redemption for us? It won't be man. Well, what about some of the sacrifices, the blood sacrifices of the Old Testament? Would they be sufficient to redeem us back, to buy us back? Blood of animals will not save us from sin. The Hebrew writer said in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 4, for it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. Micah said in chapter 6, verses 6 through 8, with what shall I come to the Lord and bow myself before the God on high? Shall I come to him with burnt offerings, with yearling calves? Does the Lord take delight in thousands of rams, in 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I present my firstborn for my rebellious acts, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? Shall these things? The prophet Micah raised that question. No flesh can glory in God's presence. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 29. The blood of animals cannot remove our sins, cannot buy us back, cannot redeem us from sin. Well, are we in a losing proposition here? Can there be nothing found, no person found, no thing found that is good enough, of high enough quality, of precious enough value to buy us back into a right relationship with God? Are we of all men most to be pitied? Certainly not. God has made the way. Only God can redeem us from sin. And he does so through his Son, Jesus Christ. Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 30, and he said, By his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. There it is. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. There it is. There is that precious redeeming value in the blood of Christ. Hebrews 9 and verse 12. And not through the blood of goats and calves, but through His own blood, He entered the holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. There it is. There's where the Christian hangs his hat. There's where the Christian stakes his claim. There's where the Christian casts his anchor on the blood of Jesus Christ. The spotless, unblemished blood of the Lamb. In Revelation 5, verses 9 and 10, they sang a new song, saying, and rightly they should have, worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals, for you were slain and purchased for God with your blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom of priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth. What a glorious statement that is. Only God can redeem us from sin. And when we read about the glorious redemption that He's provided for all sinners, if they will, it tickles our hearts. It puts a smile on our faces. It lifts us from the agony and the despair of living in this wicked world. It picks us up and it makes us new creatures before God. How wonderful that truly, truly is. So isn't it such a wonderful thing that we have a Redeemer? And He's God. He is God, the living and true God. And He reveals for us what our needs are. We don't have to go through this life guessing about what we need. He tells us in plain language what we need. You need redemption, and He tells us why. Because of your sins. And we don't have to grope around through this life trying to find something that will be good enough to present to buy ourselves back from the bondage of sin, because God even provided that for us. The precious blood of Christ, He provides redemption. Wow, that's good stuff. That's great stuff. If you're minded to be a servant of God. Now, what about you tonight? That's really the question. What about you? Are you redeemed? Have you been bought back? Are you God's possession now? Have you been cleansed with the precious blood of Christ, so that you now have a hope of eternal redemption? You as a man or a woman who walks the face of the earth can have that very hope tonight. If you do what God said do, to procure the benefits of that precious blood that was spilled for you. You have to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. What abundant evidence there is in the pages of the Bible to show that that's indeed true. You have to be willing to confess that before men. You have to be willing to turn from the sins of this life and to serve a new master, serve righteousness, serve obedience for righteousness, as we studied about earlier. You have to be willing to be baptized in water for the remission of your sins, raised up out of that watery grave to walk in newness of life, as Paul told the Romans, as a new creature, one who's been redeemed. We can do that tonight for you If you're undone before God, you can fix it right now. And the opportunity is yours. If we can help you, please come and let us know. While we stand together and encourage you by singing this song.